Welcome to the Under 18 Girls edition of the Final Siren podcast. Thanks to Draft Central. Head to draftcentral.com.au for the best insight into the talent pathways across Aussie rules, basketball and netball. In this edition, we're continuing this special series, if you like, from the 2019 AFLW Under 18 Championships, where we take a look at some of the prospects from each squad. If you're just tuning in for the first time, we did the Central Allies last week, and you can go back to listen to that across any of your favourite podcasting platforms. This week, we've got the Eastern Allies on the agenda, and looking forward to dissecting the prospects that will potentially end up on a GWS Giants list or North Melbourne Tasmania Kangaroos or potentially elsewhere if players decide to nominate for the particular state-based draft. So I'm Matthew Cox. It is a pleasure to have your company, and I'm joined by the chief editor of Draft Central, Pete Williams. The Eastern Allies, unfortunately for them, didn't get a win this time around in round two of the AFLW Under 18 Championships, but they showed some really positive signs, particularly in the first two days of the championships.
Yeah, well, they almost got the job done over Central Allies like they did the year before, so that was really promising to see. They tried hard, they just couldn't quite get that last goal on the board to get over the line, but they came really close, which was promising, and obviously Central Allies ended up with the two wins, so it showed it was a pretty even competition overall, and then they pushed country for a bit, so last day was, they got a bit tired by the end of it, but it was a great experience for all of them, and particularly considering it's such a young list as well.
They had opportunities in that opening game. They're going down to the Central Allies by 4 points late in the game. I think it was up their end of the ground, and they could have got a score on the board, but it wasn't to be. We had them going down to the Vic Country by 30 points and then Vic Metro by 72. So that was their week two of the championships after the squad was combined following the New South Wales ACT going up against Tasmania in round one of the fixture. But we are looking at some of the top prospects, and the number one prospect from the Eastern Allies, she hails from Tasmania down in Launceston, and the name on everyone's lips at the North Melbourne Tasmania Kangaroos, Mia King, named MVP for the championships for the Eastern Allies.
Yeah, look, Mia King's the standout performer, and it was no surprise to see her named as MVP overall. She played through the NAB League girls competition for the few games that Tasmania played there, and realistically, she was the clear standout dominant midfielder for Eastern Allies. And the reason behind that, like, you look at the numbers, average 18 touches, but more importantly, there's 6.7 tackles, which is really big, really important for a player. To not only do the offensive things well, but the defensive things as well. She had the 16 clearances, 7 inside 50s and 3 rebounds. So she got around the ground and was able to really take, go to the next level. You sort of see that she only had the one mark across the competition, which was interesting. She is a lot of the time winning the ball at the coalface, though, so she's getting right in and often not getting into that space as much as others. She's often winning it for them and getting it out and obviously laying the tackles and winning the ball back. So, look, she's got a nice burst speed out of stoppages, can get forward and hit the scoreboard. She didn't kick a goal in this carnival, but she certainly can do that. And, look, she's a very exciting prospect, particularly, obviously, for North Melbourne fans, given their alignment with Tasmania. So it'll be really interesting to see. I think she's going to be a player to watch in the future.
We anticipate that she'll obviously go to the Kangaroos given that alignment. But again, we haven't seen the official nomination as such for that draft pool. Based on the performances from the week from King, she was everywhere on the ground. Like any contest, she was obviously she was mostly the one getting off the bottom of the pack. Her ball use was clean. It was precise. She'd execute good kicks. What are the aspects of the game that she potentially needs to strengthen to be able to get a consistent game in the Kangaroo side? Because that is stacked with talent at AFLW level.
Yeah, I think definitely, like, she's got the speed, and I think that quite often getting her out to the outside will be the next step, because a lot of players that have speed are often outside midfielders that need to build up their inside game, where for King, it's a bit of the opposite. She's an inside midfielder with great burst speed, and I think that she could be a real asset on the outside. Obviously, as I mentioned before, she only took the one mark, which is quite low for, well, realistically, any player across the three games, but particularly for a player of her caliber. But that is because she was so often in contested situations, but it's still an area of her game she can work on and continue to build, because yeah, she's quite often trying to win the ball at ground level and just fire out a handball or kick long to space for her teammates. So but having the high clearance and high tackle numbers is really promising, and you know, to have more than, you know, the whatever it is, the five clearances a game, six tackles per game, that's pretty massive across three games. So look, she's got a lot of upside, and I think certainly developing the game, just improving across all the areas, like building that outside game and hitting the scoreboard a bit more, will be promising. But she's certainly a prospect that I think that North Melbourne would be excited about, providing she went there, which, you know, from Tasmania, it's a great initiative there that they've got that link with North Melbourne.
It is, and the other attribute, I think, which is common, I think, from these championships, as we've discussed a couple of times, the game awareness and positioning. I think she was another player that was a quality that really was a strong point for her. And the other aspect is obviously her leadership on the ground. The MVP award obviously combines all of that, but she is a quality individual and will only continue to improve once she gets into an elite team. So it's scary to think what her future holds. We were able to catch up with her whilst we were up on the Gold Coast for the championships. Here's Mia King speaking with the team at Draft Central.
Yeah, I guess we're sort of starting off with just your football journey, how you started, and how you got to the point where you are now.
Yeah, so obviously I started, one of the PE teachers at school came up to me, and it was like a school team, and he asked if I wanted to be involved, and I said yes. So it started off as a bit of fun for like a school club, East Launceston, and then I went away on the Kickstart program, started getting selected for the Woomeras and other teams like that, and then that's when it really took off, and then I started, obviously got selected for the Allies 3 years ago, and yeah, it's just been getting bigger each year, I guess.
And how have you sort of found each year as it's gone on? Like, do you feel that you're more comfortable at the level, like playing?
Yeah, definitely. Even on this trip, this is my third Allies trip, and on the first one, I was so young, so nervous, and now I feel like completely like relaxed and comfortable around everyone. And yeah, definitely, it's really helped me grow as a person being on the trips.
And have you sort of felt yourself now sort of develop into one of those leaders that might have been there when you were that young?
Yeah, so obviously I was always the one looking up to the bigger girls, and now vice captaining the Allies this year has been a massive privilege. And yeah, it's just really great to be able to talk to the girls like that.
And what do you sort of see as your strengths on the field?
So obviously I'm a midfielder, so I like to just attack the ball, get the footy. Yeah, I'm a hunter, I guess.
And what have you sort of particularly been focusing on to improve?
I reckon my skill development definitely still needs improving, and I'm trying to keep working on my kicking. So I reckon just working on the skills. And obviously I was a bit sick at the start of the year, so my fitness isn't really where I want it to be, but I'm just working on that to get it up.
And obviously the growth of women's footy in Tasmania the last couple of years has really grown. What's it been like being a part of that?
Yeah, no, it's so exciting. So obviously there wasn't a pathway for like any kids, and now we've got an affiliation with North Melbourne. We're getting home games down at UTAS and North Melbourne, and it's just really exciting to see and the younger girls in Tasmania that there is an opportunity for AFLW at an elite level.
And they actually played their own little competition, didn't they, down there with a handful of teams, I believe, the under 18 girls?
Yeah, I think it was like a North and South game, and then that's how they chose the Tassie. Yeah, it's really exciting.
And what was that like once you'd sort of got into, as well, the NAB League team, like playing the couple of games in NAB League?
Yeah, so obviously NAB League, this was the first year that they had the Tasmanian Devils for the girls, so it was really exciting. We got to flew over to Melbourne and play a few games with the in the NAB League, and I think it was really good for our skill development, because I think it really helped us in Blacktown when we came to New South Wales. So it was just really good, and I think next year they're planning to have even more games, like 8 or 9. This year we only had like 2 or 3, and try and even get some home games down there.
Yeah, fair enough. And does that help you sort of, I guess, get used to some of the Victorian styles of play and some of the players that you would have met up here when they were playing?
Yeah, so obviously Vic's got a lot of talent, and we've just got to try and, you know, look at their play, learn their strengths, but also just focus on our strengths as well, and just, yeah.
And who have you sort of looked up to over the journey?
I reckon I'd have to say, like, Daria Bannister, just because she's from Tasmania and, you know, she's always been with me on the trips, like, 2 years ago, and she's just really, like, you know, she started off just, like, for fun like me, and she's just really worked hard, and, yeah, so I'm looking up to her.
Yeah, and I guess, have you had a lot of travel to do over the years? Or?
Yeah, there's been heaps of footy. I've gone, like, Darwin, Adelaide, Gold Coast, Melbourne, yeah, just pretty much everywhere around Australia.
And what's that experience been like as a whole over the last few years?
Yeah, honestly, all the trips I've been on, they're definitely, you know, it's football. You just don't do it for, like, I love the game, obviously, but the friendships you make just off the field too, it's just really special.
Yeah, and for you, obviously, having Tasmania, having the link to North Melbourne, how much do you sort of have that involvement? Like, do they say
Yeah, so obviously, we actually got to train with North Melbourne down at, we had, like, in our pre-season, so we trained with them once a week. So I've been training with Daria and the Haynes, which is really good because you're seeing them at that elite level, and being in that environment is really good for, like, development for the younger girls coming through.
Yeah, and then obviously going forward from next year on, you're hoping to make it as high through the AFLW and whatnot?
Yeah, yeah, it's really exciting. We've just got to keep working on my skills, fitness, and just see what happens.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Mia King there speaking with a team at Draft Central during the championships up on the Gold Coast. This is the Final Siren podcast, the Under 18 Girls edition. Thanks to Draft Central. Head to afl.draftcentral.com.au for the best insight into the Under 18 Girls pathway and the talent prospects coming through. We'll move into the midfield now. A player that we nominated here at Draft Central as our player of the week for the three games up on the Gold Coast for the Eastern Allies was a 17-year-old. Now, of course, we had to exclude the MVPs, or we decided to exclude the MVPs. But Abby Favell, 17-year-old from the Murray Bush Rangers, so one of those in the Eastern Allies squad that does come out of the NAB League girls competition, was really solid, I thought. She was, apart from King, probably the most consistent player across the three games. Works well around the midfield, would often find space and try to use that space to her advantage. There's a lot to like, given that she's got another year in the pathway system.
Yeah, she's a hard worker. She just finds the footy, runs to the outside, finds space. She always seems to find herself plenty of space, and she's often the one receiving it on the wing or at half forward and then pumping it inside 50, and that's her go. She also lays tackles, so that's really promising. She's got a few things to work on, but across the whole board, she's just an exciting prospect, really. And we saw that she started to develop further as the game went, as the season went on, and the carnival as well. So it'll be really exciting to see what she can produce next year in her top age year.
Only 165 centimetres, so there's not much of her. But again, an exciting prospect that will... Where do you see her eventually moulding into? Like, she's obviously going to be part of the midfield. You'd anticipate that she'll be in the Eastern Allies squad again next season. She's got a good outside game. Do you think she can build that inside strength a little more, or do you prefer to see her remain in that outside role and almost at times coming off the half-back flank and using the wing to her advantage?
Yeah, I think her best assets are her run and her... I think endurance, because she seems to be able to run quite well. I think she does come from sort of an athletics background. So someone who is able to run over long distances and have a large tank, I guess, if you like, a big endurance base. And she's someone who will quite impress over the next year or so, I would think. But certainly developing an inside game is really important just for the future. I think that if she's able to continue her outside game while building an inside game, it's certainly going to help her going forward.
Jade Hamilton was another one that impressed us, coming from the Queanbeyan Tigers. She, again, a midfielder, her strong point. She'd often, again, similar to Favell's, find a bit of time and space, looked composed with ball in hand, and again, has another year to go in the pathway system, another 17-year-old for the Eastern Allies.
Yeah, really exciting. Obviously, Hamilton, along with King... they're both prospects that are able to really assist and show that they're going to be a couple to, I guess, tag team next year. Hamilton's more of that inside midfielder. You know, she laid the almost six tackles per game, found plenty of the footy, was second overall in terms of the disposals behind Mia King, so and second overall for clearances. So she's a player that will be that inside presence that will continue to work, and I think she's one that will certainly complement Abby Favell next year.
Eloise Hiller-Stanbrook was the player that spent a majority of the time in the ruck. I think Hurley was the other one that pinch-hitted as well, but was solid across the week. Again, one of those players that had a consistent carnival, probably not to the outstanding way of describing it. She wasn't a superstar during the week, but solid. She played her role, kept her responsibility against some pretty decent opposition too. I mean, Montana McKinnon, Mim Strom, some of the rucks, although the Eastern Allies didn't play Western Australia, but that was the type of quality that she was faced with, and I felt she held up her role.
Yeah, she did. She had some pretty impressive games. Averaged the 14 hit-outs, but certainly, like any rucks, you can sort of finish, find more of the ball, and that would be a development for her, trying to get around the ground and win a bit more of the footy. But look, she in the ruck stoppages, she was quite strong. She was not afraid to lay tackles and provide a presence. I guess being a taller player, she's able to do that around smaller ones. So her defensive pressure was quite good, and her ruck work. So it's really just developing other parts of her game to continue.
Olivia O'Donnell was another player from Queenwood that impressed us, having a midfield role for the Eastern Allies. What were her numbers during the week?
Yeah, she's one that sort of switched between midfield and defence. She had the average of 10 touches, which doesn't seem heaps, but it's one of the better numbers, because obviously you are playing over an hour-long game, as we mentioned last week in the podcast. So roughly equivalent for those watching like AFL Men's, it's half the time, basically an hour instead of 2 hours. So 10 touches is the equivalent of 20 in the men's game, or probably about maybe 16 in the AFL Women's, for example. So it is quite a hard game to get heaps of touches in. So for those that got over 20, it's remarkable. But certainly 10 touches is quite solid. And she also had the 2.5 tackles and similar numbers for the rebounds and inside 50. So she's really sort of balanced. But she did spend time in defence and through midfield, and sort of balanced that really well and was able to have an impact across the ground.
Georgia Garnett was another player that spent time in the middle, but also coming out of defensive 50 as well, a player that was prominent throughout the week for the Eastern Allies.
Yeah, she's obviously the she was Eastern Allies captain, so got great leadership skills, leads from the front, played last year, so she knows the experience, stood out last year, and was, you know, quite prominent across her games, had inside 50s, rebounds, tackles. So she has it all across the board. Not a massive disposal winner, but, you know, she just has an impact and one of those players that uses the ball well and makes good decisions, high footy IQ. So someone certainly that clubs will be very interested in, obviously, particularly New South Wales. So, yeah, it's great to see her develop another year after she put in some strong performances last year.
And we were fortunate enough to catch up with Georgia Garnett whilst we're up on the Gold Coast. Here she is speaking with the Draft Central team.
How did you, from New South Wales in a rugby league sort of heartland, get into playing football?
As you said, I was into rugby league. We had a rugby league family, so played a lot of touch and I was tagged. But my PE teacher gave me a sign-up sheet for the New South Wales school team, and I kind of just went along to that. And we had to play in a carnival, weekend-long carnival. And yeah, I made the New South Wales team from there, but I hadn't actually played footy before. So I had to join a club, which was Kellyville Rouse Hill Magpies. So yeah, I just started playing a couple games for there, and yeah, went up to the school national championships. And that was my first couple games of footy, so.
Yeah, unreal. So it's been pretty quick sort of getting to that elite level now. Yeah. How's your experience sort of in other sports and athletics, things like that, sort of translating now to your football?
Yeah, it's helped me a lot with touch and stuff, all the running, the fitness, and also like the hand-eye coordination, being out of sea and set up plays. It's kind of helped me a lot. Obviously, wasn't really doing much kicking, so I had to learned that pretty quick. But yeah, it's helped me a lot, and yeah.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the girls we come across sort of have to travel long distances. You're a Western Sydney girl. Has that sort of been a thing for you as well?
Yeah, I've been very fortunate with where I live. I know a lot of the country girls do a lot of travelling to and from training and from these carnivals, I guess. So I've been pretty lucky and, yeah, very grateful, actually.
Yeah, and who have your idols been? You're in the part of the GWS sort of academy, and have there been people influencing you there?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, got Alicia, Eva and Lou Stevenson here, so they've been a big part. They've helped me a lot. Fridge, the captain, she's kind of taken me under her wing. And obviously, Elise Parker from last year, she's helped me a lot. She's messaged me a few times, making sure I'm all right, asking if I need anything. So, yeah, a lot of girls who have really helped me out, and I'm very grateful.
Yeah, and what about in terms of family? Have you had people backing you or pushing you to play football or any sort of different direction?
Well, it's always been my choice, which I'm also happy about. My dad played football himself, so he was stoked when I started playing. And yeah, my mum just comes to everything. The Giants let her sit in and watch training, so yeah, she loves it. She drives me everywhere. Yeah. Yeah, they're really supportive, so.
Yeah, awesome. Are they up here at the moment watching?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, awesome. And how have you sort of found it? Have you enjoyed your time up here? And
yeah, I love it. Who doesn't love the Gold Coast? Yeah. Yeah, no, it's been good, especially with the girls. They're a great bunch, so awesome. It's been very fun.
All right, that's it.
All right.
Well done.
Thank you very much.
Georgia Garnett there speaking with the team of Draft Central up on the Gold Coast during the 2019 AFLW Under-18 Championships. This is the Final Siren podcast. Thanks to Draft Central. Head to afl.draftcentral.com.au. Over the coming weeks and months, we'll be publishing a whole heap of feature stories from a number of interviews. These are only a snapshot of the ones that we've caught up with whilst we're up on the Gold Coast, so plenty of content to come about the stories, the profiles of the under-18 girls talent coming through the systems. We're dissecting the prospects for the Eastern Allies. We'll move to defence now for them, and we'll start with Emily Pease, another player that's underage, 17 years old, from the Balconnen Magpies, 172 centimetres, and again was another player that had a really solid week.
Yeah, they've got quite a few good prospects up there in the ACT, which is great to see. You know, she's one that stood out in the defence. Like many of them, not huge numbers, had the 8 disposals, but she still managed to rack up the equal team high rebounds, a couple of rebounds each game, and as well as almost a couple of inside 50. So she got around from defence to attack and laid some tackles, was able to be a consistent force back there. They're not huge numbers, like in terms of rebounds. There wasn't, outside of Mia King, obviously, it was a really balanced team effort, and certainly in defence, they held up really well, as we saw in the Central Allies game. So she was one of the key reasons for that, obviously, and along with Emily Hurley as well.
Which we'll move to now. Just on the defensive line for the Eastern Allies, I do want to say, even though they were under siege, even in that final game against Vic Metro, they held their composure. Okay, at times the pressure got to them, but I felt for a majority of it, they were able to hold their own, which was a really strong point. And as you said, the next player that we've identified that had a really good week was Emily Hurley. Again, would often bob up along the defensive 50 line, but also pinch hit it in the ruck.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously, a taller player. She's had the equal most rebounds with Peace there, and she's had a couple of the rebounds per game, and she also averaged the 5 hit outs. So to give a bit of relief to the other rucks throughout the games, obviously Hiller Stanbrook we talked about before, but yeah, having the 5 hit outs, it just gives a bit of a chop out when in defence, and she's a kick first player. Had the 13 kicks to her 3 handballs, so. You know, again, one that only had the 5 touches per game, but it's more what she does off the ball with body work positioning and able to, I guess, get it clear. Because obviously, if you've had the 16 touches, 6 of them are rebounds, you're playing pretty deep in 50, or able to just use it well when you needed to. You don't overpossess it. So that's really good to see.
Amy Prokopic is the next player on the agenda. We've mentioned that they've had a couple of 17-year-olds, Pete. She's 16. Mm. She's born on the 5th of the 5th, 2003. So she's a player that has a couple of years left in the system. And again, was someone that bobbed up multiple times during the week in the defensive line for the Eastern Allies.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. We normally have the futures segment at the end of the show, but we realise nearly everyone's a future in this team, which again leads to the fact that they're such a young team. So to be able to be competitive against much older players is a credit to them. But certainly nearly everyone, the futures thing would be as long as the rest of the podcast, I think. But yeah, look, she really impressed me when she was in the NAB League Girls playing in defence. She's a player who we were talking about a kick-first mentality. Of her 24 touches, 23 of them were kicks. So she certainly is not a handballer. But it's great to see when you're playing in defence, you need to sort of get it out of there. And certainly having the four rebounds, again, one of the higher ones for Eastern Allies. She's able to just win the footy, not muck around, get it forward, and that's sort of her game. And she can push up the ground as well. I know there was the game against Eastern where she was one of the best, along with Mia King, in the NAB League Girls. So she's certainly a player that I think caught the eye in that game for me watching. So I think certainly the fact that she does have a couple of years left is quite exciting, because I think she's got a fair bit of talent to work with there.
I was just about to say, is there too much pressure or expectation on a player? Like, the championships for the girls is a little different to the boys, because we get to see some 16-year-olds participating depending on the squad strength. The fact that she was selected in the side, given that she's still got 2 years in the system, what does that, like, how high do we set the expectations for her come the 2021 draft?
Well, it's quite interesting, because there's some players who obviously, like, you look, Lucy McAvoy was one who was playing at 16, and now we look and she's potentially a top pick in the AFL women's draft. But then there's others who last year, for example, in the Eastern Allies, they had some 16-year-olds who would be 17 that didn't actually make the final squad here. Now, obviously, I don't know whether that's through injury or otherwise, but there was certainly one that was a bottom age, if you like, last year that didn't make it, now as a middle age. So it can go many, many ways. And I think that she's done what she needed to do, come and really perform, not only at NAB League, but in the championships against older players. And to be honest, when Tasmania becomes a side in the NAB League Girls, that's going to be exciting, because you assume, you know, she's going to be one that'll really lead from the front and be a player to watch next year.
The next player on our list, Brenna Tarrant from the East Coast Eagles, was a player prominent inside defensive 50 for the Eastern Allies.
Yeah, a player who really stood out. I know after the champs, there was the highlights video of her taking a huge contested mark, and they tend to have that every year because Lexi Hamilton did it last year. So they've got a good marking player each year, and she's one that stood out, made the All-Australian team, so really promising prospect. You can see why, which is probably worth mentioning, because there weren't that many, obviously, just Mia King and Brenna Tarrant, so she's in good company there. And she had the 29 disposals, 12 tackles, 9 marks, pretty consistent across the board. Got it forward as well, had her same number of inside 50s as rebounds. So she's a player that I think has a fair bit of talent, and will be one that certainly GWS keep a close eye on in the run home.
They certainly will. As you said, the mark that she took in that final game was outstanding. And again, the quality shining through. And it's the one that's probably the most consistent across the MVPs or the top prospects of the upcoming AFLW draft. The positioning and the ability to read the play, it is getting stronger and stronger as these pathway systems get stronger and stronger. And Tarrant is one of those to really flourish from that aspect. She's another name that we caught up with up on the Gold Coast. Let's hear from her now. Brenna Tarrant speaking with the Draft Central team.
So we're all starting off with your football journey and how you got to this point, really. So from when you started to now.
Yeah. So I've been playing for about, just going to my fifth year. I used to play for a local club down in Penrith, Emu Plains, just at the bottom of Blue Mountains. That's where I'm from. Played there in their inaugural team, played against one other club just on for that season, and then played with them in the first Western Sydney under-15s team. Then got on to the under-15s New South Wales school team,
then came through the Rams team for the past 3 years now, alongside some of the other stronger girls. So,
yeah. And what's it been like growing up, I guess, in like New South Wales, where rugby in the past has been a primary sport? What's it like sort of growing up playing footy? Has that sort of been a turning point? Like, have more people been playing that?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of people are turning from rugby to AFL. So my dad used to play union, played first grade union, and he sort of thought, oh, she can go play union. I ended up playing netball and dancing, and then sort of got into that AFL. And a lot of kids are going to AFL too, because they sort of, it's sort of a safer option over the union and league. Just, you know, a lot of parents are sort of cautious about, oh, I don't want my child to get hurt, don't want them to be injured or anything like that. But I think we still cop a lot of it, especially living in that Penrith area, because that's a really big union league area, with the Penrith Panthers being so close. So a lot, I cop it a bit at school, saying, oh, you play AFL, no one else plays at the school. So there is a bit of it around, a lot of that NRL sort of competitiveness, but it is coming through a lot. It's been really good to see the that rise in AFL.
And I guess playing through Eastern Allies, what's that experience been like for you?
Oh, it's been phenomenal. It's definitely boosted my skills. Definitely playing alongside Tasmania, playing against Tasmania, all the coaching, it's just been the best learning experience. And sort of playing with the best from two different states has definitely improved my skills and the skills of everyone else, because we're so united and we bond really quickly as well. Yeah.
And what do you sort of see as your strengths on the field?
I like to think that I'm a good marking target. So I used to do quite a bit of netball as a defensive player. I've only just started playing forwards lately. So I've worked a lot on my marking and sort of getting down clean off the ground. And that's sort of a few good strengths of mine. I like to think I'm a good tackler as well. Run and carry is still one to work on. Yep. But, yeah, marking and sort of that clean skills is...
Yeah, yep. And who do you sort of look up to in your football journey?
I really look up to the likes of Isaac Heaney from the Swans, Christian Petrarca from Melbourne, and Elise Parker. So I've played with Elise for the past 2 years in Rams and Allies, and she's led the team really well. She's been strong. Her skills are really good too, and I just sort of looked up to her leadership and her skills.
Yeah, and in terms of your, I guess, travel commitments, have you had much travel to do over the years?
Not as much as some of the other girls. So playing under 18s, and even because I play women's now too, I have had to sort of travel 45 minutes to get to training. And then I'm sort of training on with the VFL, the Giants team. That's a bit of a trek out to Homebush from where I am. So it is a little bit of a drive, but it's definitely not as far as some of the other girls who have to travel 3+ hours to get to training.
And how much, I guess, conversation do you have with the Giants and that being the local area? How much involvement do you have with the club?
So I train with them Mondays and Wednesdays in their VFL team. So a lot of them, like Alicia Eva, Elise Parker, Louise Stevenson, they're all around that training, and they really get around all us new VFL girls who have sort of been invited into it. So we get a lot of help and encouragement and support from those girls, and they really have helped us improve our skills, just them.
And what's it like, I guess, training with like Alicia Eva, and then she has to like come and coach you for this? What's that sort of like difference? Is that like, how does that come across like for you? How do you sort of feel, I guess, training with her one day and now she's sort of coaching you here?
I think I quite enjoy it, because she still sort of takes on that coaching role even when she's training, because she's the vice captain. She sort of has to take on that coaching role, and her knowledge coming from a Victorian state, I guess. Yeah, she's had a lot of that.
And the goal would obviously be to reach as high as you can, like AFLW, hopefully get on the list.
Yeah, getting drafted and playing for Giants or any team would be probably my main goal, or even just to see how I go, really, even in this, is something that I'd like to really look forward to.
Awesome.
Brenna Tarrant there speaking with the Draft Central team up on the Gold Coast during the 2019 AFLW Under-18 Championships. You're listening to the Under-18 Girls edition of the Final Siren podcast. Thanks to Draft Central. it's afl.draftcentral.com.au if you're looking for any information regarding the under 18 girls pathway for Aussie rules. Another player that caught our attention during the championships, she was almost a versatile player, played a little bit in defence, at times got pushed forward. Lillian Doyle from the Grafton Tigers, 169 centimetres, again, was another player that had a really consistent week.
Yeah, she's a player that played forward in the sort of first game and then went back in the other two. She's definitely, I'd say, more suited to playing in attack just simply because she's so classy around goals. But she's, I can see why she's also played in defence, because she's got such a lovely left foot and that's her best asset. She obviously just had the 19 touches because playing in defence, she didn't find as much of it, and obviously playing in attack as well, you know, you've got to get the ball down there. But she did kick a nice goal in the first game, and she's a kick first player, and if she can sort of play midfield time wherever she ends up, like whether it's State League or AFLW or another area, wherever it ends up in the future, certainly I think she could be a player that moves onto a wing, because she's one of the better kicks, and certainly she's able to get the ball forward and set up plays, but she's also really damaging inside 50. So I think inside 50 or along a wing is certainly a place for her, because she can create goals, set up plays, scoring opportunities for her teammates, and then also finish the job as well inside 50.
Lillian was a player we also caught up with on the Gold Coast. Here she is speaking with Draft Central.
Awesome. Okay, so basically we're looking at your football pathway through from when you started to now. So how did you sort of get into footy, and then how you got to where you are now?
Yeah, okay, so I actually used to play soccer originally, and that was my main sport. And I was actually kicking the soccer ball over at the AFL Oval across from my home one time, and I had one of the AFL coaches come up to me and say, "Oh, you have a hectic left foot. Want to come and play AFL with the boys?" And at first, I'd grown up with a whole bunch of boys, so, you know, I was a bit of a tomboy myself, and I'd always wanted to play footy. Grew up playing rugby when I was younger, but I hit 12 and then I, you know, couldn't play anymore. And so I was 13 when, you know, they picked me up, actually, and they said that I was allowed to play with the boys. So obviously I snatched that opportunity up, and here I am 5 years later still playing footy. So
and your Eastern Allies journey, how have you been? Have you found that since you started with them?
Yeah, so every year it's the development's been great. The amount of talent that I've seen come through this system is just remarkable. Jess Whelan, who's in our team, she's one of the youngest and she's an absolute star. Like, she's just such a standout, and just to see these girls come through and just show their talent, it's just, I can't wait to meet them in the AFLW one day. It's going to be amazing.
And what was it like, I guess, last year particularly when you were sort of playing, I believe it was Central Allies where you kicked the two goals in the last quarter?
Yeah.
And that sort of got them over the line. Was that a bit of a buzz for you?
Oh, it was unbelievable. That was the peak of my career, I believe, at that point in time. That was amazing. I remember it like it was yesterday, actually. I can't believe it's been a year already. Mm. But I think I actually snatched one off the ground that bounced back up to me and I got a goal, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah, and doing on Metricon Stadium, is that a big buzz, being a bigger stadium, obviously, AFL ground?
Yeah, so I actually played with the Suns Academy quite a few years back before I played with the New South Wales side. And I think we trained there quite a few times, and every time I go there, it blows me away. Like, it's just such an amazing field. It's amazing that they allow us to play on it every year. I think it's a really good opportunity to at least showcase to the other girls that, you know, are coming into the AFL academies that, you know, this is where you can come to one day, and this is what, you know, you might be playing on one day. So, yeah, it's great.
And you've obviously recently, like probably today, like spent time in defence. Is that something like new? Like, is that something you're trying? Or?
Yeah. So it's. I've been thrown in back quite a few times. I think when coaches kind of, when they have a few that, you know, they need to throw up forward, this was the case today, they had some people they needed to put up forward, and so they thought, well, why not throw Lily back to see how she goes? So I've played back before, and, you know, it's not much of a challenge, but it's a bit different because it's usually I hadn't done it for a few months, but I love it. I think it's amazing. It's good to experience something different and just to give it a go.
yeah, it's just something that I'm more of a flexible player, I suppose, in that regard. But yeah, no, it was awesome. I loved it.
And do you have a preferred position at all, or?
Actually, probably on the centre half forward line, I'd say. Probably on the flank, left hand side, I'd say. I actually don't mind the wing either. I think the wing's pretty fun. It's like midfield, but just not as much running.
Fair enough. And I guess going forward, like, what do you sort of see as your strengths that you've got, and what are you hoping to improve on?
Yeah, so I think I'm really good at attacking the ball. So I think that one of the things that I believe that I can showcase is my hands. So. And apart from that, probably my left foot, because not many girls in the competition do have a left foot, so that's something that's a little bit different and unique. But probably something I could work on would be my cardio. I think that I've got a lot to work on with maybe my sprints and my long distance. But I mean, there's always stuff to work on. There's always things to improve with. So, AFL is a sport where you can always develop, and you know, you've got things to work on. So.
And who have you sort of looked up to over the journey?
Well, Lisha Eva, she's been our coach for a couple of years. She's definitely somebody that I idolise. She's just been an amazing support throughout the years, and even having her in this academy has just been it's been very rewarding for all of us girls. I think she's someone that I look up to.
Yeah, and I guess for yourself, have you had much travelling to do over the years? Or?
Yeah, so since I'm from Grafton, Sydney's a six-hour drive, or... you know, 1.5 hour flight. So it's quite a trek to get down to New South Wales when we do train. But I actually play for Coolangatta up here. So I travel up here once a week to train, and then back up the highway once again we go on a Saturday to play. So I'm quite used to the travel by now. Definitely get sick of it quite fast. But it's something that I don't mind doing, because I love footy that much that, you know, it's something that I don't mind.
Yeah, yep. Fair enough. And obviously the goal is to try and get as high as you can in the future.
Yeah, of course. Yep. But I think one thing that females coming through the talent pathway that need to understand is that AFL is a sport that they love, and it's, you know, something that, you know, we came into because it was fun and it was exciting, and we loved, you know, meeting new girls that were coming through. And I think a lot of girls put a lot of pressure on themselves just to make it into the AFLW. So I'd love to make AFLW. That's something that I aspire to achieve. That's something that, you know, I hope to make the draft at the end of the year, fingers crossed. But yeah, I think that a lot of girls just put a lot of pressure on themselves. So I'm just trying not to put a lot of pressure on myself as well. Just, you know, take it as it comes and hopefully make the draft. Awesome. That'd be amazing.
Lillian Doyle there speaking with the Draft Central team up on the Gold Coast for the AFLW Under-18 Championships. Let's move to the forward line now in the Under-18 Girls edition of the Final Siren podcast, taking a look at the Eastern Allies squad. Zoe Harrell from the Sydney Uni Bombers was a player that impressed us forward of centre, attacking for the Eastern Allies, 168 centimetres. She provided an option for them forward.
Yeah, certainly. Look, she kicked a goal. She's able to take some strong marks, and she's also able to push into the midfield and win some crucial clearances. I think across the board, she was one of the ones who had a really consistent number across all stat categories: clearances, inside 50s, rebounds, marks, and tackles. And obviously, they didn't kick a heap of goals over the carnival with the six, but certainly she was one that was able to kick one and then also set it up for her teammates. So she's a player that... certainly stands out, and she had a good year last year as well at the championships. So one who's developed nicely across the board.
Camilla Taylor was another player forward of centre that created an impact for the Eastern Allies, coming from Launceston, so another potential Tasmanian prospect. 179 centimetres, so she was one of the taller players on the Eastern Allies list. What did you make of her performances throughout the week?
Yeah, look, she's a taller player. You know, who's a key forward by nature. So she's one that is able to provide a contest. And also what was most impressive about her is she was able to lay a lot of tackles. Like, she almost had as many tackles as she did disposals, because obviously being a key forward in a forward line that doesn't have a heap of inside 50s or goal scoring opportunities, it's a bit, tough to really create things. But certainly she was able to not only get involved through tackling, but she was able to pinch hit in the ruck when the likes of, you know, Hurley or Hilla Stanbrook couldn't. So she certainly got involved and was able to win a few clearances from those stoppages. So she's not just, a tall player. She can also get involved and impact as, if you like, a smaller player type as well. So she can impact in the air or at ground level.
The second efforts, defensive efforts, if you like, for someone of that size was quite a quality to see and a strong point from her for the week. Jordan Jolliffe, one of the overagers, in fact, I think the only overager on the list for the Eastern Allies, hailing from the Bendigo Pioneers. Again, one of those players that's in the intriguing situation of playing NAB League girls footy in Victoria, but comes from Balranald in very southern New South Wales. Had an impact across the week, felt obviously she spent most of the time forward. I think from memory she also floated a little bit in the midfield. Didn't have huge minutes in there, but obviously they gave her a run just to test her versatility there. But is another player that's probably on the verge, if you like, on being potentially drafted.
Yeah, she's a player who, it's quite interesting because she's gone through the AFL Academy with Elise Parker for most of the year, so those two are quite close. Unfortunately, she had an injury last year, which she speaks about shortly when we chat to her. But she's a player who, she's a key forward by nature. She's strong. She's good overhead. She's able to kick plenty of goals. She did so for the Bendigo Pioneers and obviously missed all of last year practically, came back for this carnival, was able to have an impact, played the two games, kicked a goal and, as you said, spent time in the midfield. So she was able to improve her versatility, which is important.
As an overager and the only one on the list, obviously that little bit of extra leadership and experience will be drawn on, even though she had an injury interrupted year in her draft year, if you want to call it that. What are the areas of the game that she would need to strengthen up to end up on an AFLW list?
I think it definitely was her versatility and her athleticism, if you like, because she was pretty much coming back after like losing the match fitness from not playing for a year. She's sort of that permanent key forward, strong body, and able to really dominate that area, but certainly being able to move into the midfield or play other positions. We know how important that is because nowadays you can't really just play one position. So certainly for her, playing in other positions and being able to push up the ground, show she's got, I guess, the endurance to be able to do it, then that's really important. And I guess that's the best step towards potentially finding a home later in the year or in the future.
Jordan Jolliffe speaking with the team at Draft Central during the 2019 AFLW Under-18 Championships on the Gold Coast.
First off, we're sort of just looking to get your story, I guess, from where you started your football journey to now and, just how it all came about.
So I started in Auskick. Wasn't really a fan of netball and most of my friends were boys. So, started there and then played till under-11s. And then I wasn't allowed to play anymore, so I went over to netball. And then found out that there was a girls' league in Swan Hill was starting one up, close to home. So jumped on board with that and then started playing again and then got picked into the Bendigo Pioneers and then sort of escalated from there.
Yeah, fair enough. And obviously, I know last year you had some injury problems, didn't you? Like coming in,
I had a stress fracture in my lower back. So I missed last year, unfortunately. But back now, which is good.
What was that like? Like the recovery process, going through that and then getting back here? Like what was that sort of like for you?
So I wasn't allowed to do anything because of stress fracture. You just got to let it mend itself. So I sat out for the year and then so I missed pre-season and then at the start of the year I sort of had to just do my own programs to try and build my fitness back before the Pioneers started and I got to go in the Bendigo Pioneers as a overage. So then started with them.
Yeah, and I guess what does it mean to you now to sort of finally get the chance to be like the Eastern Allies after missing last year?
It is an awesome opportunity. Like, I never thought I'd actually get to play this carnival again after the injury. But, just overwhelmed with how, got back picked back into it,
And I guess your personal strengths that you see on the field?
Probably overhead mark and My kick would be, probably the two strengths.
And what are you looking to work on?
Fitness, definitely. And just, probably just fitness.
And how hard was it after missing so much time coming back to actually training? Was it quite difficult at first?
It was very hard because obviously all the others did pre-season. And, to get back into it, sort of behind a bit, but then that's more work you have to do behind the scenes to get yourself to,
And what was the NAB League like for you this year? Like, how did you find getting back into footy?
After the first two games, it was a lot better. Like, probably game fitness. Like, you can't really train for game fitness. So the first game, I struggled a little bit. And then after that, it was good to be back.
And who do you sort of look up to, I guess, for your career?
I've always loved Joel Selwood or Gary Ablett. But for the women, Erin Phillips. I just think I would love to be like her.
Yeah, and I guess, have you had much travelling to do? Obviously been a fair bit apart, country club. And
A lot of travelling for me. So when I played for Bendigo, that was 3 hours away from home. And if you played in Melbourne, that's another 4.5. So, always travelling, training and everything. It's always a long distance.
And is that something like you're really passionate about, like reaching the top level of football? That's why you've, dedicated so much time?
Wouldn't do it if I didn't want to make it all the way. So, nothing I can really do about it unless I want to move. But, at this stage, just travelling is good.
And that's the goal, to try and just make as high as you can?
Yep. Try and make the AFL Women's, and that'd be a dream come true.
Awesome.
Okay, thank you.
Jordan Jolliffe there speaking with the Draft Central team here on the Final Siren podcast, the Under-18 Girls edition. Thanks to Draft Central. Head to afl.draftcentral.com.au for the best insight into the Under-18 Girls pathways as we head towards the AFLW Draft a little later in the year. We've already alluded to it. There's plenty of young and up-and-coming prospects on the Eastern Allies list. A couple of names that we haven't mentioned so far. Jessica Whelan from Camden, 171 centimetres, a 17-year-old. Another one that I think will only get better and better as the development goes on for the next 12 months.
Yeah, she's a player who's quite young, still developing. And as you heard from earlier interview, when we spoke to Lillian Doyle, she mentioned how she's one of the best players on the team, despite being younger. So she's developing really well. And they're sort of, I think even the players themselves are seeing that the players that are younger are now more ready-made than they were previously. And certainly for Jess Whelan, that's the case. And she's one to certainly look forward to next year because she had the 10 touches and over 4 tackles and one of the more prolific clearance winners as well. So she'll be a midfielder that can certainly do some damage because she uses the ball well and does the defensive thing. So perhaps she takes over that Mia King role next year.
You stole my thunder there. I don't need to go down that point. I was going to mention she's probably the one that steps up to the plate once Mia King exits the squad, given we anticipate that she will be drafted. So looking forward to seeing how Whelan develops over the next 12 months. Another player that I'm looking forward to seeing because we've got a glimpse of what she is capable of. Tani Evans from the Queanbeyan Tigers, 180 centimetres. So there's a couple of tall timbers coming through for the Eastern Allies, which is pleasing.
Yeah, certainly. And she's another one. They've got plenty of tall options that'll really create headaches next year for opposing states. And she's another one that can not only mark in the air, but get the job done at ground level, laying a number of tackles, a couple of tackles a game, as well as a sort of almost 9 touches per game. So she's one that can find the footy, move into the midfield and have a bit of an impact there. But certainly she's able to play up forward and play a real crucial role there too.
And we've already mentioned there's a couple of stars coming through at 17 years of age. Jade Hamilton, Abby Favell, Emily Pease. And then at the 16-year-old level, we've already mentioned Amy Prokopic. Is compared to the other talent, like if you look from a Victorian perspective, we all know about the Prasparkas coming through the system, another Prasparkas that's probably equally as good as her sister. What do we see in terms of the Eastern Allies in that age bracket? Is it on par with what's coming through at a Victorian level, or if we look around the country, WA and Queensland, which are probably the next strongest in terms of talent depth, is it at that level? And do we expect in the coming years that the Eastern Allies will continue to get stronger?
Well, it's sort of hard to compare for the reason, purely for the fact that the years leading up to this, they haven't had the development pathways that others have had, simply. But now they're getting them, they're able to develop more talent and bring them through. But certainly, like at the moment, Victoria, like, they don't allow the 16-year-olds to play now that they've got the strength of their top ages and middle ages that can play at the champs, and the ones that get cut from the champs at the middle ages. So they try and play as many top ages as they can, where for the states such as Eastern Allies, you'll often see them 16-year-olds playing because of the development pathways they now have in place. They're actually overtaking some of the ones that are older than them. So it'll be really interesting in future years how it works out. But it's almost like, I think once you don't have any of those 16-year-olds in the championship squad, it means that your pathway is really set. And I think that'll be the real key. Once they've suddenly got all top ages, you know that their pathway has now really clicked into gear, which I think it will. The NAB League girls having a team there full-time will be a terrific asset to them. And I think that we'll see that in the future, that similar to Victoria, which a couple of years ago they had 16-year-olds playing, and now they don't. So it'll be the same with Eastern Allies, particularly through Tasmania, who are going to have that team. And they might, in the future, every team won't have 16-year-olds. And it'll be similar to the boys, where they'll probably extend the under-16s carnival. Right now, it's only, obviously, a couple of matches. So they'll probably extend that out to be like the boys and be its own carnival in its own right. So these players that we're saying, oh, they look impressive, they're going to look even better because they're playing against 16-year-olds. So it's an exciting time, certainly in the female football space, and it keeps growing.
And it just proves the point that the stronger the pathway, the better the players coming through. And we can already see that not only in the talent this year from the draftable players, but going down the list at the 17-year-olds, and even in the Eastern Allies case, the 16-year-olds being able to create an impact. Okay, it's not as consistent as some of the top ages, if you like, but they're still able to have an influence on the team's result, which is fascinating to watch, because I think it's going to be a completely different brand of footy in a couple of years' time for the under-18 girls pathway, and that's incredibly exciting. For all information regarding the Eastern Allies squad, we'll go a little more in-depth in the upcoming feature articles. Head to afl.draftcentral.com.au. You can click on the AFLW Under-18 Championships tab, where everything is hosted not only from the championships, but also over the coming weeks and months leading into the AFLW draft. Make sure you lock that in on your iPad, your phone, your computer, whatever you're looking at it on, afl.draftcentral.com.au, or you can also head to the social media channels.
But yeah, at Draft Central Oz, AUS, on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram.
Next time on the Under-18 Girls edition of the Final Siren podcast, thanks to Draft Central, we'll be taking a look at Queensland as the next side. Now, they're an intriguing case because they've got plenty of talent. They've had a couple of prospects that are already on the Gold Coast Suns list. That's the first time we talk about those that were pre-drafted heading into the championship. So we'll look forward to having a bit of a chat about them. We'll obviously focus more on the ones that will be still yet to be drafted, and there's plenty of talent, but it's kind of weird that they didn't actually get a result on the board.
Yeah, it feels a bit strange when you're talking about Queensland, because you're like, they've got all this talent, but they actually didn't win a game, but they do have all this talent. Like, I don't know, maybe that's a case of maybe the bottom end not standing up or something like that, but I'm sure we'll run through all that next week and go through all that huge top-end talent.
We certainly will. That's on the next edition of the Under-18 Girls Final Siren podcast. Thanks to Draft Central. Thank you very much to the Chief Editor, Pete Williams. I'm Matthew Cox. We'll look forward to speaking again next week here on the Final Siren podcast.